Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Yes, if it sounds a little bit different, I'm actually doing the intro of my show while driving through some Seattle-type misting heavy rainstorm. I know that sounds like a big oxymoron and stuff, but I'm having to drive. I actually had to stop by the auto parts store place to be able to get windshield wipers put on. I only go with the Rain-X ones. I know that they're a little bit more expensive, but they're definitely well worth it. But it's such a weird-ass rain. And I got to tell you, Saturday, they're saying Saturday here is going to happen in Central Florida. And I know I got a lot of people up north that listen, and you're probably like, oh, Tuttle, stop, you're a pussy. Just stop. Stop talking about it. But we're going to have some of the coldest temperatures in Central Florida than what we've had in, like, the past decade. Oh, got a stoplight. I know I should not be podcasting and recording, but I got the windshield wipers put on. We're going to be in the low 30s, maybe even high 20s in Central Florida, depending on what the cloud cover is going to be like. I am kind of a little bit of a weather nerd, and I do follow it. So if there is a late cloud flow or cloud cover, and it's going to keep all the daytime heating in, so it's not going to get that cold. But they're saying it's going to be some of the coldest weather we've had. But I'm on my way now to the Hobo Fish Camp, because I turned in a change of address for the United States Postal Service, and we're still not getting any mail. So now I'm driving down here. You know, I've been watching that show Big Love. Me coming to the Hobo Fish Camp is like Bill going back to Juniper Creek and the compound where all the polygamy happened. Because I it's almost like I was exiled. We left on our own free will, but the guy that owns the place wanted me out for a very, very long time. So I'm going to go do that. I'm going to scout out, because I still have not gotten the staghorn ferns, the two staghorn ferns that I have there, and a lot of the snowbirds that are friends of my mom are keeping an eye on it, because, you know, John Mays, the guy that owns the Hobo Fish Camp, would almost likely take them, because they're very expensive. They're worth a lot of money. But I'm also going to have to come over here Friday night. I don't know if that's the other thing. I got to check that out. Is it going to be cold Friday going into Saturday, or is it going to be cold Saturday going into Sunday? Because I need to know what days that I need to come, because if it's going to be freezing, I got to wrap up those staghorn ferns. I don't want them to get burned up. That would really, really suck. Also, at the same time, my dad was the one that took care of that. My dad was the one that always did that type of stuff, and this is just one of the numerous things that I don't even think about that come up that I'm like, oh, this is my first time having to do this all on my own now that my dad is gone. So, yeah, it's one of those weird experiences that you got to take over responsibilities when your father passes away. So I'm going to go check that out, go check the mail. I did a lot of bill paying. And I'm not complaining. It's almost to the point where I've become my mom's, like, personal assistant, secretary, because it used to take her quite some time to be able to get through some of the bills and stuff, to be able to pay it, because she gets not confused. It's just she does not want to use the automated services now. And with everything going on with COVID and the great resignation that they had, everybody's not wanting to work right now, that the phone service people, customer service, the people that are supposed to help you out and stuff, you can't talk to a real person anymore. So she gets intimidated by, you know, talking to artificial intelligence, which is only a phone. I mean, it's not like the AI that we're worried about in Terminator. It's not like some skeletal metal robot is going to be crushing human skulls or anything. That's just not going to happen. But she doesn't like using it. So it's much easier when I do that. So, and like I said, I don't want anybody to think that I'm complaining. I'm not. Like, I'm glad that I'm able to make my mom's life a little bit easier when it comes to helping out. Because, you know what? She really helped me out as a kid. And it's kind of like repayment. Because if you had to financially pay back your parents for all the stuff that they did for you, yeah, you would never be able to pay off that debt. So you might as well just return it back with kindness, and empathy. All right, pulling into the Hobo Fish Camp. Be back in a few minutes. I talked about this for a little bit last night on the Tuttle Daily Podcast live stream. If you've never checked out one of the live streams that I do, it's available on my YouTube channel. I was slacking there for a little bit, but now I've done it every night this week. But go to youtube.com/Tuttle. If you haven't already subscribed or hit that bell button, please do that. Hitting that bell button is really important because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or I put up any brand new content. But on last night's live stream, I was shocked that this was even a big news story. The amount of people that don't know that fast food chains have secret menus, menu hacks. And right now, a lot of these fast food places, with the prices going up and stuff, a lot of people are trying to save money because of the inflation. And they're getting a little, well, not really. They're not really getting creative because a lot of these were made up by customers that just grew into a cult following. But McDonald's, they're offering a lot of these new secret menu items that you could get the whole time that you just didn't know about. And they're trying to make money off of it. They're trying to make money off of it. I told you guys, I had a McDonald's menu hack. I would always get the quarter pounder with cheese. None of those diced up onions. I'm a big texture eater. I really don't like them. But I would go with a quarter pounder with cheese, get the fries, get the value menu and all that stuff. But then I would get a packet of sweet and sour sauce until they started charging for that, or you had to order nuggets. So I would get nuggets with that as well, too. So what I would do is I would take my fries and I would line them up. I would do three deep when it came to the rows of fries. And then I would put sweet and sour sauce on top of that with the hamburger bun on top of that. And then I would eat it. I would just go to town and I absolutely loved it. But some of these, you know, I hit on this last night on the live stream that it's no wonder that the United States is having so many coronavirus deaths, because we're one of the most unhealthiest countries that you're ever going to see on the face of planet Earth. And the obesity, the diabetes, the bad circulatory system, plaque, heart attacks, strokes, that's all from all the junk food that we eat. And the reason why is that it is cheaper to go to any fast food place and order something off of the dollar menu. And that's why we're dying. We are dying more because of the coronavirus, because of menu items, menu hacks that you're about to hear about.
But McDonald's, they've clued into the fact that we do play around with our fast food. And in the United States, McDonald's is adding four fan-inspired so-called hacks to its menu. These are basically existing McDonald's items stuffed with other existing McDonald's items. I'm going to go through them. You tell me whether or not you would eat them.
By the way, I looked for a while to be able to find like a legitimate news report about these new menu hacks that are coming to McDonald's, but I couldn't find it. So this is like one of those local morning TV news stations that kind of try to do what the Today Show is doing. And it's just bad. It's bad. So I apologize. Hopefully that the audio that I just pulled for you is not a bad like representation of what I think is good audio, because it's not. But this is all I had. I only got a certain amount of time to be able to show prep, and I had to cut bait and run.
First off, it's the new Land, Air, and Sea. This is a Big Mac stuffed with a chicken patty and a fish patty, Erica.
It's funny. It's funny because they talk about this, how it is menu hacks, stuff that people have ordered. You had to say a certain word to be able to get access to the secret menu that everybody talks about, but you don't know how to access it. If you wanted the Land, Air, and Sea burger or sandwich, whatever you want to call it, the hybrid, back in the day, from what I heard, it's not from what I heard. It is what it is. If you asked for the McGangbang, yes, I said that right, the McGangbang, you could get the Land, Air, and Sea menu item, and they're going away from that. It might be a little too shocking for McDonald's to be able to just say, hey, come get the McGangbang here at Mickey D's. When you see the arches, come get the McGangbang. No, they didn't go with that one. They went with the Land, Air, and Sea burger. It's a little too wordy. It's so much easier just to say, yo, let me get that McGangbang.
I have to pass on that one. I don't think that I would that would agree with my stomach.
All right, look, I'm not a woman, but I've also worked in broadcasting for a long time. And the last thing that listeners want to hear is a female anchor say, oh, I don't think that's going to agree with my stomach. It's not going to upset her stomach. We all know when a woman says, hey, it's going to upset my stomach, she is having explosive diarrhea. And guess what? It's never, ever a big turn on. It's not a good thing for women to be known for having irritable bowel syndrome because they ate a McGangbang. That's the thing about it. Whenever you first start dating somebody, you go through that awkward phase where it's like, I've been guilty of it. Guys and women are guilty of this. They will, you can go pee, go take a leak, all you want to. That's fine. But if you're a guy that just lays down some stinky ass doo-doo in the toilet, you don't want to do that at a chick's place. You don't. And the same thing goes for a woman. I remember when I first started dating my ex-wife, she never pooped. I never pooped there. If I did, I'd be like, oh man, I got to run up to the gas station. I need to go get something. Or I would go to the pool where they got a public restroom there at the apartment complex she was living at. And I would go down there and lay it down there. But, once you put a ring on it, once you start getting comfortable with each other, men and women, they just don't care. They will drop it like it's hot with the door open. And I'll even take it a step further. This happened to me when I was married. When she was on her period, when she had her period, sometimes there would be bloody certain, I'll just come out and say it, clots. Clots would, not go down. I don't know if they've got like air bubbles or blood clots or buoyant, but they would be in there. And I was like, you know what? After a while, I was like, okay, cool. I'm not shocked. This is something that I've seen before. I would play this game. I would pee on them and try to make them explode until it looked like a red tide.
No, that's a mouthful. There's the crunchy double. This is 6 chicken nuggets stuffed into a double cheeseburger. Sign me up for that one, Erica. I like the sound of that one.
I feel like such a douche for playing this audio. Because just give me the news. Discuss it. I don't need your, like, funny conjecture back and forth. It's just lame. It is. But, I mean, that sandwich they just talked about is a complete ripoff of my triple threat without the bacon. I've told all you guys, I go to Wendy's, I get a junior bacon cheeseburger, I get a chicken nugget, 4-piece. You can get that 99-cent Wendy's value meal. I don't even know if they have it now with all the inflation and stuff that's going on, but I will. I'll take all the lettuce and tomato off. I will put 3 chicken nuggets on top of that, little bit of barbecue sauce, smash it down. Yeah, you're getting beef, pork, poultry. That's what I call the triple threat.
Goodness. I would do that on a dare, yes.
The calorie count must be astronomical. There's the surf and turf being offered. This is a Filet-O-Fish inside a double cheeseburger. Bun and all, Erica, in the surf and turf.
Can you actually call something surf and turf if it is not 100% beef? And let's be honest, the fish filet, yeah, there might be some fish on it. If you're a fan of McDonald's, don't go onto YouTube. And I know that I'm going to lose any potential future earnings from Mickey D's, but I just don't ever see it happening. But yeah, if you look at some of the way that their food items are made, yeah, I don't know if you can call that actual surf and turf.
The last
Again,
one is
I
one...
cannot.
Erica wouldn't be caught dead with that. The last one, Erica, I have to admit...
Why wouldn't Erica be caught eating that? Erica doesn't care. She really doesn't. She just talked about how she would have explosive diarrhea. Even though she didn't say explosive diarrhea, she was like, oh, yeah, that would definitely upset my stomach. That is a nice way for women to say, yes, I will coat every inch of the porcelain toilet with my diarrhea if I ate one of these. So let's not act like Erica is too good to eat this sandwich.
I have created myself. It is the hash brown McMuffin, a hash brown sandwiched in the middle of a sausage McMuffin. You got to get creative sometimes in life, Erica, you know?
Yesterday, Polk County, very famous, hell, I would even say nationally famous, Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, gave one of his world-famous press conferences yesterday. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I am anti-law enforcement. No, I support law enforcement completely. I do. I mean, they're doing a job that a lot of people would not want to do. Do I think that there are bad apples when in law enforcement? Yeah, there are bad apples in any line of work. It's just the law of averages. And I think Grady Judd has done a lot of great things. He is tough on crime. That's definitely the one thing you can't say about Grady Judd, that he's not tough on crime. Like, he has no patience, zero tolerance when it comes to committing crimes. But a lot of people have thought that Grady Judd has, I don't know, maybe become a little bit of a camera whore. But I can see where people would say that. I really can. But I also think that these press conferences that Grady Judd does helps him to be able to connect with the citizens of Polk County. Because they're able to see, hey, you know, Grady's getting it done. Because there's a lot of police work that law enforcement does and numerous counties here in the state of Florida that we just don't know about. And you think maybe these law enforcement aren't doing their jobs, but they are, but they just don't put it out there. They don't have the type of press conferences that Grady Judd has. And this was a great one. Because the more and more that I see of Grady Judd's press conferences, I'm sure Grady Judd is a smart guy. I'm sure Grady is a great public speaker. I mean, we've all seen that. If you don't know who Grady Judd is, Grady Judd became famous for one of the most amazing quotes that I've ever heard a sheriff give. There was this scumbag, this criminal that ended up shooting, and I think he might have killed a deputy in Polk County. And they finally caught up to him, and the Polk County Sheriff's officers lit him up. I think they hit him with like 50 or 60 rounds. And when the press got there, the press was like, "Hey, Grady, why did you shoot this guy over 50 times?" And Grady was like, "Well, because we ran out of bullets." And I know that that pissed off a lot of people. I have no problem with what Grady Judd said there. No. I mean, if you're going to try to kill a cop, or you do kill a cop, yeah, you know, that's kind of goes with the territory. That's why you don't kill cops, because cops are going to shoot you until you run or until they run out of bullets.
The first time we've ever done an investigation like this, they were totally bold and totally brave. But what I'm going to tell you next, you're just not going to believe. You can't even make this stuff up.
I'm sure he's got to have a speech coach. I'm not talking about that Grady has a speech impediment or anything. Just somebody that is his coach when it comes to public speaking. Because I'm gonna like pull back the curtain for you a little bit. Grady has a way about his dramatic pauses. Because it does add a lot to the press conferences that he's doing, but man, he is a straight up mark for the dramatic pauses. And you're going to listen to this. You're going to hear some buzzwords, some catchphrases, and they're good. I mean, they're super good catchphrases, but I just, when I hear it, I'm like, man, it just really seems like he has a publicist firm working with him. He's got a team of people who's like, all right, here's some funny catchphrases, some puns, some double entendres. And it's going to make him connect with the citizens, the voting citizens of Polk County. And it's brilliant. It really, really is.
So let me set the mood for you. We swiped left. We talked to this person. I'll sell you some marijuana. Our undercover detective arrives at the door and he knocks. A fella opens the door.
All right. So, okay. I want to bring this up. All right. So marijuana. Because when I first saw this news story and it was a sting, because they were using like dating apps. That's why Grady said swipe left. But I also at the same time have to kind of call, if he does have a publicist that is helping him out with these speeches and stuff, they would know if you swipe left, that means you're not interested. You got to swipe right to be able to make a connection. You got to be able to swipe right to show that you're interested. And in this case, you would almost think that you would have to swipe right to buy marijuana. Are we really, really in this country, even in Florida, Polk County, Florida, are we really, really spending a lot of money on stings to buy marijuana? I know that it is illegal by law. It is illegal. and what Grady and the Polk County Sheriff's Office is doing, it is completely legitimate. But I just don't know how I feel about doing a big sting about buying marijuana. Marijuana is going to be recreational here in the state of Florida. It is. And I know that the marijuana drug trade does, you know, comes with some bad things. You get violence, you get people that are fighting and killing over territory. But don't give me that thing about marijuana being a gateway drug or people are dying from marijuana. It's not happening. It's just not happening. And I really do think that we could be putting our resources in law enforcement to better use than setting up a sting to catch somebody that is dealing marijuana.
The house is dark except for mood lights and candles. We said, we're here to buy the marijuana. And he said, well, it's down the hall in the bedroom. So our undercover detective said, you know, I'm really uncomfortable about this because we just have mood lights and candles. So he says, you know, I'm checking out the rooms the best I can clear them in an undercover capacity as I walk down the hall and into a bedroom. And there in this bedroom is a man laying on his back. And another person, let's just say, engaged in erotic conduct.
All right, okay. So what are we saying here, Grady? Sheriff Grady Judd, what are we saying? Is this a brothel as well, too? Or is this a drug dealer? And you know what? I'm not even going to say drug dealer. I'm going to say weed dealer, because I don't want to lump a weed dealer in with all the other drugs that are out there, the hard drugs. You know, a lot of people, marijuana is evil. No, it's not. It's not. People aren't overdosing over marijuana. And I got to tell you, I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable if I'm showing up to a place and my weed dealer is having sexual things done to him. Because, I mean, for one, that shows he's a mother effing pimp. Number two, it's like, all right, cool, man. I don't want to bother you while you're getting a blowy. Just tell me where the weed is. I'll put the money down. I'll take it. I don't want to interrupt your O-face, and we'll call it a day. I'm going to listen to this audio a little bit more, because now if this was a brothel, I mean, that's one thing. I also don't think prostitution should be against the law. And I know that prostitution does bring a lot of other, like, issues and a whole new set of problems. Because of sex trade and abductions and stuff like that. But if it's two consenting adults that aren't being forced into sex labor, then I really don't have a problem with it. If a woman and a man meet up, they're both of age, they're over 18, and they want to make a deal. Hey, I'm going to give you $100. For you to have sex with me, it's your choice. If you say no, that's fine. I'll go on to the next person. But if a woman agrees to, if she wants to have sex with a man for a certain amount of price, and she's not being forced into it, I really don't see a problem with it. You know, prostitution is one of the oldest jobs, one of the oldest practices in the world to be able to make money. And I know that there needs to be some type of regulations with it, because like I said, there's a lot of sex trafficking going on, a lot of abductions, minors being sold into sex slavery. Yeah, I do not like that at all. But if it's somebody with on their own free will, like a woman that wants to make a deal with a man to gain financially for having sex with somebody else, I really don't have a problem with that. And I'm not trying to shock jock you, but once again, this is another reason why government should just mind their own business. Because if it's two consenting adults, it should be nobody's business.
Did you hear me? Follow me now. The detective looks and there's pornography playing on the television and candles all around.
Pornography, as long as it's not, if it doesn't have minors in it, and I guess no bestiality and stuff, don't have a problem. I mean, you would have a better chance of getting this person in trouble for the candles, for it being a fire hazard. Pornography is covered under the First Amendment as long as it's not a minor or, like I said, bestiality or if it's a snuff film. Besides that, if it's just regular pornography and everything's legit, no problem at all. I think you could easily get them on a fire hazard for the candles before you could get them for the pornography.
And the guy laying on his back while engaged in erotic activity is petting a puppy.
All right, so he's petting a puppy. I'm sorry. I would love to have a weed dealer like this. He is laying on his back, petting a puppy while, you know, Grady said sexual, erotic scenarios. Well, let's be honest. He is getting some brain. He's getting some oral gratification. And I don't know, I think that's pretty badass. You're laying on a bed, you are conducting a weed deal while petting a puppy, getting a blowy. I mean, hell, this guy seems badass.
A Pomeranian. He says, I'm here to buy the marijuana. The other fella, John Panzarella, is preoccupied at the moment, engaged in inappropriate conduct.
How is that inappropriate? Even if you're a religious zealot, I mean, doesn't God want you to procreate? God wants you to reproduce. God gave you the ability to have sex. That's why he made it feel so good that we can reproduce and have more kids. I don't understand. If this guy gets a good lawyer, I don't think he's going to be, depending on the weight of weed that he's dealing, this guy is not going to get in trouble. Because I haven't heard one single mention of this being a brothel or a jack shack or anything like that. So what I'm trying to say, a good lawyer could make this kind of go away with limited time served.
He says, hey, man, it's on the table. Just take it and leave. And he continues his inappropriate conduct while the guy on the bed is petting the puppy.
What is going on here? Why is Grady so fascinated about this puppy getting petted? Is he reaching for bestiality charges here? This is the craziest press conference that I think I've ever heard him do. And once again, I want to say, I think Grady is a great sheriff. I mean, that's why you don't see a lot of people messing around in Polk County. Hell, I get nervous as hell. Even though I'm sober, I have no reason at all. My license is good. I'm not a felon. I don't have a firearm on me, even though I got my concealed. But I get nervous. Like, I stop at the Polk County border, and I check all my lights. I check my turn signals, my brake lights, my headlights, because I just don't want to get pulled over. I just don't. And I'm not saying I'm afraid of Polk County Sheriff's Office. I'm not. I just make sure that I'm on my best behavior for about that 30 to 40 minute ride through Polk County.
So we took the marijuana and left. But we returned to arrest John Panzarella for delivery of drugs to us. You can't make this stuff up. He didn't even stop long enough to complete the dope deal and collect his money. Just take the marijuana and leave.
Yeah, you want to know why? Because that was a badass woman. Like, seriously. I mean, you're a drug dealer and you're getting some good-ass brain that is so good that you are not even going to count the money, that you're just going to keep letting her go. Hell yeah. I mean, you know what? Big ups to that guy. I mean, he had his priorities in line, if you're asking me.
Yeah. Now I ask you, what do we got going on here?
A good time. I'm just saying, look, I know that the guy broke laws, and I know he's going to have to do a little bit of time, but it's just weed. Just weed. He was getting some oral gratification. There's a lot of other drug dealers out there doing far worse than what this poor guy that was knew what he liked. And now you got a press conference. Like I said, I mean, Grady's acting within the law here. But like I said, isn't there other things that we could be doing?
How have we arrived where you think it's safe enough to sell drugs on an app to anyone, to advertise wide open, to not stop your doing the wow thing long enough to complete the sale?
Why does this guy's sex life keep getting just thrown back in there? Does it make it any worse that he was getting taken care of sexually during a drug deal? This is preposterous. It really, really is. Having sex, he wasn't raping the woman. She seemed like she was liking what she was doing. And I don't think she was sold into sex slavery. I mean, if it comes back that she was, then yeah, I think you, good work. Good work, Polk County Sheriff's Department.
This is the most bizarre thing we've seen in a while. And we see bizarre stuff every day. But with that, I share with you a warning for the future. We're not going away.
All right, so this is the other thing. I really do think whoever is writing Grady Judd's press conferences, some of the things he's supposed to, is probably a former writer of the WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. Maybe the guy was a good writer for Vince. Because he always closes it out like it is a good wrestling promo. Like, Grady is not, like, overhyped, very calm. His delivery is absolutely amazing, but he always goes out on a high spot with a very well written line.
If you sell your drugs on the app, know one thing. My detectives, who are simply the very best in the business, are going to swipe left for meth.
All right, so hold up. Hold up. Meth is never, am I missing something here? Meth was never mentioned once. I don't know if the, matter of fact, I watched this whole video. It didn't look edited, but weren't we talking about weed? We were talking about weed. How do we get into meth here? And by the way, once again, somebody messed up. You don't swipe left to make a connection. You swipe right. Oh, Jesus.
And then we're going to swipe you up and put you in the county jail.
So since I moved to the new place, I'm getting used to, like, all the pickup days. Like, we have recycling. We have garbage pickup twice a week. And I've never been one of the biggest recycling guys, but I might start doing that. I ended up getting in my throat's, I've been still having throat issues since the my battle with COVID. I've good days and bad days, but so I got a little push lawnmower. I got a weed eater. And that's good. You know, since we moved to the new place, that the cat, the stray cat that I've been taking care of at the Hobo Fish Camp, she would stay outside pretty much all night. She very nocturnal, still nocturnal here, sleeps all day, up all night. And, you know, she would be out. We had a litter box at the Hobo Fish Camp, but she rarely ever used it because she was outside most of the time. Now she's been nothing but strictly a house cat. And I got to tell you, one of the most annoying things, cleaning the litter box. Like, if they could come up with a easier, less messy way of letting your cat. That's the thing about it is cats are clean. You could never do that to a dog. You couldn't put a box of kitty litter or a box of sand and put it somewhere. And even if you could teach the dog to use that area, he's not going to cover it up. Dogs are heathens. Dogs will just leave it where it lies and just walk off like it's nothing. Cats, they dig a hole, they do their business in it, then they cover it up. But it's still annoying as hell having to clean a litter box all the time. And I got to tell you, the cat, she's one of the most regular cats that I, because she does about, I would say, throughout the night. She never uses it during the day, but she poops all night. I would say at least 4 or 5 healthy loads and about 3 or 4 pees. And some of those pees, I ended up getting this one cat litter, and it clumps up everything. We used to use kitty litter because when we played baseball in Little League and then in the 14, 15, 16-year-old division, we had to prep the field ourselves. We had to grade it and chuck it. And we were getting a lot of rain. That's something that happens when you play baseball in Florida in the summertime. We use so much kitty litter to dry up light rainstorms that we still wanted to try to get a game in. But, man, some of the stuff they got now, her pee and fecal matter turns into, like, cement blocks. It's like, why are we not donating some of this stuff to the homeless where they can make homes out of cat, fecal matter and cat urine that's been hardened up by these kitty litter? You can make like an adobo or a cat poop igloo or something. I don't know. Earlier I said I wasn't that much into recycling, but come on. Reuse, recycle, do all that stuff. I you know what? I don't even think rain would bring that down. Hell, I think a category 2 or lower could withstand a kitty litter igloo, cat poop igloo. Use the urine kitty litter as like spackle to hold everything together. It's just one of those things. It's kind of annoying, but still doing a good deed. I like the cat. I know a lot of guys don't like to admit that they're cat people, but the cat, it is a little bit of a stress relief, in my opinion. Like, when I'm having anxiety or I'm feeling a little stressed out, that cat sitting on your lap making those biscuits, not clawing you, but letting you know that the claws are there right on your quadricep while it's sitting on your lap. Because I don't wear underwear most of the time. I know that I should. This is one of those habits I got into. And then just the purring, the vibration of the cat. And any of you sickos that want to think I'm making it a sexual thing, it's not. It's just a big stress relief. So if I got to trade it off by cleaning up her waste out of a sandbox, yeah, it's kind of a good trade-off. Anyways, guys, gonna get out of here. So I don't know when I'm gonna do it. I may save it for next week. I got a big announcement on the direction of the show. If you give me enough time to be able to look at a scenario and figure things out, I'll eventually get there. And I really think the next evolution of the show. You guys are going to tremendously like. I really do. And I got a couple of meetings early in the week next week. And then I'm going to be able to sit down and put it to word and be able to talk to you guys about it. And once again, this next step would not be possible for if it wasn't for the people, the supporters of the Tuttle Daily Podcast, just telling their friends, family, loved ones, whatever it may be about the content that I'm putting out, you guys donating when I'm doing live streams and super chat, it all adds up. So I can't thank you guys enough. I also got to thank my good friend Ian Hanna. He's a sponsor. He's a part of the revenue stream. You know, if you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Flagler, Volusia, Brevard areas, and even if you're not, if you know somebody that's looking to buy or sell a home and you listen to the podcast, hook me up. Help me out. Tell them about my good friend Ian Hanna, who is one of the young, swinging big D's in the real estate market. You're going to want to use him. He helped save my mom a lot of money with some of the tips and tricks and advice that he was able to give us. Ian Hanna is worth all the money. So do yourself a favor and do me a favor. If you're in the market to buy or sell a home in the Flagler, Volusia, Brevard areas, go to IanHannaHomes.com. All right, guys, going to get out of here. Hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Hopefully you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.